Thanks for listening to the Voice Ministries podcast. To get more information about Voice, or if you are blessed by this message and want to sow into our ministry, go to our website at voiceministries.com.
There's no doubt that God is trying to sober us up and get our attention. So if you're a guest here at Voice, this can happen from time to time. And so don't let it be too hard on you. Hopefully it'll be good for you. One of the things I kept hearing as we were worshiping was that God is bringing each and every one of us into a new place of sobriety. That we're really becoming sober about who we are and who He is. We're becoming sober about the events and the things that we see taking place all over the earth around us, and how much more we need to be in that place of intimacy with Him. How much more we need to be in that place of being victorious in Him, of being an overcomer in Him. And the only way that you can do that is through deep, deep interaction with the Lord on a daily basis. There's no way you can do that and be a warrior and be an overcomer if you just show up on Sunday or some other day. This is a day-to-day walk, a day-to-day fire that will move you, protect you, cause you to be in peace when everybody else isn't. And that's what we're looking for. That's what we want to be. We want to be overcomers. We can stand in that. The Lord also was speaking to me about this as a place of freedom, a place of victory for you today. God's heart is that you would be a people of worship, a people of prayer, and a people of His Word. We are kingdom people. And when you're kingdom people, you're very, very, very bold in love. Not bold to be noticed, bold in love. Because you'll reach out to anyone, any place, any time because of the overwhelming love of God. That's what I was hearing. Now, before I even get into the message, I feel like from time to time as we stand up here, we have to be a lighthouse, we have to be a trumpet, we have to warn our brothers and our sisters as much as possible of what we believe the Lord is saying, what He's speaking. And this morning, as I was having time with the Lord, the warning for us, now this, I want to encourage you, don't think that this is all negative. No, this is encouragement to walk in love, to move in the ways of the Word, to be a people of prayer and a people of worship. But attitudes and beliefs right now, attitudes and beliefs are shifting in our nation. And they're shifting across the globe. You know that, you feel that, you sense that. Attitudes and beliefs are shifting. Many Christians, I didn't say all, I said many Christians will stray in this hour from right teaching. They just will. And the reason that they're going to stray from right teaching is because they're going to choose to blend in to the Western culture. They're going to try to blend in with what is happening within our culture. And so the warning is, do not be misled. Stay close to Him. And don't allow yourself to be pulled away from the Word, from prayer, and worship. WPW. Don't be pulled away from the Word, prayer, and worship. Make sure that it's a part of your life, ongoing. The Last Days Church is going to break into two different looks. It's already happening. One moves toward the world, and one moves boldly toward Jesus, Yeshua, the Word of God. They will speak boldly about truth, moral issues, as well as they will embrace Israel and support the Jewish people at a time when the rest of the world sees Israel as an enemy. This is a warning. Look for those things. Know that that's going to take place. It's a warning. We're going to begin to see, we already have, a new period of lawlessness beginning to arise on the earth. We're going to see many, not, I shouldn't say many, I'll just say some, Christian denominations falling away and being in line more with the world's changing views, even on marriage. Our nation in June struck down the word of God concerning marriage. Our nation, it's a warning, struck down the word of God concerning marriage. And I believe that we've crossed the line when we've done that, when we do that. And when that happens, that means things are going to shift. And things will not be the same. They just won't. Now, that isn't to live in a place of negativity. No, it's to live exactly in the place that we were just a few moments ago. In a place of praise, in a place of worship, in a place of overcoming. And really knowing that greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. The Bible is very clear in Matthew 24 when it says that the very elect will fall away. We say it all the time. But it's very clear. Jesus was very clear that these things were going to take place. Now you've got to make a decision in your own walk with God to make sure that you're in the Word, you're in prayer, and you're in worship. Because that is what is going to sustain you. That the Word of God is living and it's active and it's going to sustain you. Prayer, intimacy, communicating, interacting with God is going to sustain you. Worship is going to sustain you. And if those three things are not happening when in your life, it's going to be very, very hard for you to maintain interaction and intimacy with Jesus. You may have faith and you may believe. I just received a phone call, a message yesterday from some dear friends that walked with the Lord for years and years and years. And he was on fire for God. And now possibly approaching divorce in their marriage. Broke my heart to think that was happening. When we begin to neglect the Word of God, prayer and worship, then we will fall into that temptation and move away from him. We crossed the line, the ground shifted, things will not be the same. It wasn't just about marriage. It was about civilization as a whole. It was about America as a whole rejecting the Christian faith. That's what you're sensing. That's what you're feeling. That's what's taking place. Now, I believe that the light and the power of God and the love of God is going to arise. I believe by faith that we're going to see some of the greatest times ever in the body of Christ. But you cannot cave to fear. You cannot cave to everything going around you. If you're going to cave into the arms of Jesus and stay there. He'll get you through it. He'll get you through it. I think so many times when we say, oh, I got to do something. A lot of times that's all up here. It's not at all with our heart connected with the Lord. I have a small amount of time, so I'm going to say this is part one. And then I'll just ask the Lord to help me where to stop. So we'll do part two possibly next week. We'll see how it goes. First of all, where's John Frank? There he is. Okay, 21 years old. I wrote that down. You got to say happy birthday to John Frank. Happy birthday, John. 21. I've seen him since he was a little guy. That's hard to believe. And also, we said earlier, where's Lydia at? There she is right there, that she's back 3 months after being in Africa. Welcome back again, hon. We're glad you're home. Again, not nearly like Charles is glad that you're home. Okay, here we go. Just let's try to grab a hold of a few things here and write them down and impart them to your life to help you on this journey, because it is a journey. Don't get caught up in everybody else. Get caught up in the journey that God has you on with the people God has you around so that you can walk out the fullness of who you're called to be. God always has a calling and a destiny and an identity for each and every one of us. There's no doubt. And if you ask most Christians, that's what they're trying to discern or to know. They're desiring to walk in the fullness of what God has for them. And as I said just a few minutes ago, it can't be found apart from a life of great intimacy. It just can't be found. You've got to have that intimacy interacting with God on a daily basis. To find, to hear God call you, There has to be a culture of prayer. We speak a lot about being a kingdom culture, and a kingdom culture is a culture of prayer. That's part of it, that we're a praying people, that we continually be before the Lord. And I want to say these again, WPW, word, prayer, and worship. This will bring forth our identity. This will bring forth your destiny. This will bring forth the calling that God has for you if you operate in those three areas of your life. And you stay there. God will speak. He will call you by your name. And He will have you move forward in what He has for your life. There is no doubt. In one short statement, Jesus reveals our eternal identity and destiny of His people. He reveals it in one small statement. He declares it. And it's found in Matthew 21:13. He says, "You shall be called a house of prayer." You shall be called a house of prayer. He was speaking about the temple, that the temple will be called a house of prayer. Now, where is the Holy Spirit abiding within us in the New Testament? Within us. And we are what? We are the temple of the Lord. We are called. There's your identity. First and foremost, we are called to be a house of prayer individually and corporately. It's as clear as it gets. And if you study this out, you'll see it more and more. He was quoting Isaiah's prophecy, Isaiah 56:7, "My house shall be called a house of prayer to all, for all nations." When God calls us by a specific name, it indicates what our character would look like and how we are to function in the Holy Spirit, not only right now, but forever. When He says we're called to be a house of prayer, He means that we are called to not only pray here on this side of the millennial reign, on this side of eternity, but we will also be praying on the other side and worshiping God. Our identity as a people and as individuals are to be houses of prayer. And even though we set aside this room to be a house of prayer, we're praying for the citywide house of prayer all throughout this region. That God's people would rise up and know that they're called to be a house of prayer. That that's a big, big part of who they are. Jesus said it. And His zeal, He's consumed with it. Specific name indicates that character. Now let's look at how important worship and prayer is to God real quick. The Holy Spirit wants to establish a culture of prayer. And He wants to establish that culture of prayer integrated with worship. When Lydia started praying at the beginning of the service today, and we started worshiping, did you see how it happened? And how we begin to pray and to worship together. And it just began to create that, just the presence of the Lord, and we all seem to get on the same page. And then praise and worship begin to rise up out of who we are. What I'm talking about this morning, it should not at all be boring or something that you can't grasp. What I'm talking about this morning is the identity of the bride of Christ. The identity of who we're called to be, spoken by Jesus. When we try to make our identity so many other things, that our true identity is to be a man and a woman of prayer. A man and a woman of God's word. A man and a woman of worship. Recently, being down south here, not long ago, I was amazed at how the few people I spoke to, that church and being part of the body of Christ is all about Sunday, and for the 6 days, all you do is work. And I was saddened by the response. You know, your cousin really needs to go to church. No, my cousin really needs an encounter with Jesus Christ. That's what my cousin needs. And so we see a shift in things happening and pulling us away. What I'm speaking about this morning is so valid and so important for us as a ministry and for the body of Christ in this region, in our nation. And we're going to recognize, we're going to see the body of Christ arise in the place of prayer and worship. We're going to begin to see it more than ever before, because the times in which we're living is going to press us into that place to be a man and woman who prays, who believes by faith, who's in the Word of God, applies it, and worships. That's who we are. That's our identity. It is the primary means in which we release His power, is through prayer. Prayer and worship. We move things in His name. We do this. We do it now. And here's a cool thing. We don't only just do this now. We do this in the future for all eternity. This is part of who we're made to be. There's not too many things you'll find in the Scripture that we're going to do this now and do this in eternity. And prayer and worship is that. Worship releases you. It releases you. I was this close to dancing this morning. This close. I mean, I was this close. If somebody would have just did that, I would have been on it, man. I would have. But that, because, and that wasn't to draw attention. That was just, oh, you are so good. Because I've danced that way, not when any of you were around. It's fun. The power of worship has always been the center, listen, the center of God's purpose. The power of worship has always been at the center of God's purpose. We don't have time now to look at Revelations 4 and 5. But if you look at Revelations 4 and 5, take time, write it down, and read it later. You begin to see that everything functions from a place of prayer. Everything functions from a place of worship, where God is seated on the throne. They sing, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." The centrality of His government functions from His throne, from a place of worship and prayer. A house of prayer, a people of prayer, a people of worship, a people of His Word. That's how His government goes forth. And as we set up and we press into this house of prayer and we keep crying out, like last Wednesday, we were here crying out. And Jackie Walorski's assistant was here, and she just started burning for our nation and praying. It was pretty radical, pretty crazy. It was just wonderful. There's teams here now on Friday night. There's people that are praying, pressing in. And we know that this is going to increase in the near future. We know it. We've contended for it. But prayer and worship is at the center. The release of all that God is found in His eternal sanctuary, as described in Revelations 4 and 5. Now consider this. Number one, human history began with prayer. Human history began in a prayer meeting. Adam and Eve, they walked and talked with God. It was a prayer meeting. In the garden. Does anybody disagree with that? There was a prayer. They were talking. They were communing. Having community with God. Okay? That's how it all began. Talking. Number two. Israel began as a nation with a fiery prayer meeting at Mount Sinai. Started with a prayer meeting. And we were to be called, they were to be called a kingdom of priests. Number three. God's purpose for His people to be a house of prayer can be seen clearly in the reign of King David. David established singers and musicians, you'll find that in 1 Chronicles 15 and 16, who were free from other duties, for they were employed in the day and night worship before God. David financed over 4,000 musicians and singers to worship and to pray day and night. He knew that it was to be done in the pattern of what he saw in heaven, in the throne room. He knew that if this was going on, that he would be victorious in all of his military conflicts. Each time, the Davidic order of worship was established in Israel, they would always have a spiritual breakthrough with military victory soon to follow. Because they put the singers and the musicians and the watchmen in their place to cry out day and night, night and day. Okay, Now, let me try to help us in this too. Some of us just have in our mind that it's just got to be, you know, here at this building. That's good when we gather together, because you saw what even happened this morning. But here's the deal. That house of prayer has to be in your home. It has to be in you. You're the temple. You're the temple. So if you want to be victorious, he has a fiery zeal for his house of prayer. And every one of you are representative of the temple of the Lord. And he's for you. That you would be a house of prayer. That you would burn. Are you guys getting that? So see, it's not like, that's why church is shifting and things are changing. It's not going to be the way, things have already shifted. Things aren't going to be the way that they used to be. You're not going to get by on the fuel that you had before. You already know things are pressing in and you're kind of getting like, oh man, what's happening? A little, you know, the only way that you'll make it, dads, moms, sisters, brothers, the only way that you'll make it is to be that house of prayer. Is to be that temple. And don't get me wrong, I know that we struggle and we war. But it's so important that we not only have a house of prayer here for gathering and intercession and meetings of prayer, but we also have a house of prayer here every day. It's so, so important. So important. You'll see things completely different. So David, he raises the finances. He's got the finances for 4,000 musicians and singers. Jesus himself, and then I'm going to close with part one here. Jesus himself began his public ministry in a prayer meeting in the wilderness, and you can find it in Matthew 4. And he ended his time here on this earth in prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane. That's how he ended on this earth. The early church began in a prayer meeting in the upper room as they waited for the promise. The apostles made the ministry of prayer a top, top priority. Our prayer gatherings are so important. Our worship is so important. The teaching and the training of the word is so important. Natural history as we know it, listen, natural history as we know it is about probably to end in the way that we've known it. Things are shifting and changing. There's going to be a global prayer and worship movement that is going to arise. One is going to be worshiping Jesus, Yeshua. And the other is going to be worshiping the Antichrist. There's two global worship prayer movements at the end of the age. Now, if this just kind of went over you, just know, be like the Bereans. Study the Word of God. Show yourself approved. You will see in the Word of God that two major worship movements are going to arise. Matter of fact, why don't you put that one of the Antichrist up there, if you have it. I think it's in Revelation 13. For they worship the dragon because he gave his authority to the beast, and they worship the beast, saying, who is like the beast and who is able to wage war with him? That is specifically speaking about a worship movement, and there's more scripture that I won't go through. I'll bring it next week. That speaks about this Antichrist movement. So we'll be worshiping Yeshua, or they'll be worshiping the Antichrist. From God's word, I won't go into the scripture, I'll end with Malachi, but from God's word, we can be confident that Jesus will establish worship and prayer throughout the whole earth. And we know that it's going to happen in the millennial reign. In Malachi 1:11, this is our hope. This isn't a time to live in fear, it's a time to live in hope and joy and love and excitement. Malachi 1:11 says, Jesus will be worshipped. It says, for from the rising of the sun even to its going down, my name shall be great among the Gentiles. In every place, incense will be offered to my name, and pure offering for my name shall be great among the nations, says the Lord of hosts. So many verses confirm that the whole earth will be filled with His glory and filled with worship. Worship and prayer is very important to the Lord in heaven, right now in this age, and in the age to come. That's why, if you want to find your identity, what your name is, you're called to be a house of prayer. That's part of your identity. That's part of your name. That's part of who you are. That's biblically sound. This is my third closing, right? You guys keeping track? The other day, we were in here, I think it was Monday. Yeah, Monday. And we were just praying and just really going hard after praying for the church, for our nation, families in Israel. And Denny Rogers wrote this down and felt that this was very strong from the Lord. And this is what he got. Jesus has begun to pour out the oil of His compassion and healing upon this house. His presence is filled, his house. There is an explosion of prayer coming to this house, and the burdens of our Lord becoming our prayers. His holy fire is within us. This consuming fire is the presence of Jesus, who comes to set our hearts ablaze with His prayers, His compassion, and His power. We are to become living prayer filled with the glory and the power of Jesus. Living prayer. Then another angel, having a golden censer, came and stood at the altar. He was given much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar, which was before the throne of God. And the smoke of the incense with the prayers of the saints ascended before God. Revelations 8, 3 and 4. Why don't you stand? Pray. Holy Spirit, I ask that You would move upon our hearts today, throughout this day, that every one of us would ask for Your help to be wholehearted and be committed to what You have for us, who You are, that we would truly be a resting place for You to come. Let us not be comforted with the ways of this world and the comforts even of our homes. Let us not live in a life of ease, but let us live in a life of freedom and glory. Let us contend for the fullness of Your will over our lives, our family, our ministry here, and throughout this region, throughout our nation. You brought some sobriety to us today. We want to be a ready bride, filled with oil. You are the great I Am, and we trust in that. We trust in everything that's transpired in Your Spirit, Lord. And Lord, as always, we pray that You would separate the wheat from the chaff, and we would hold on to what You've given. May Your dwelling place increase in this day. May Your house of prayer in us and as a family increase as we commit to the leadership of the Holy Spirit and walking in the fear of the Lord. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen and amen. God bless you and go in peace. And let this word sink into you. Let this worship time sink into your heart. You are called to be a house of prayer. That's your identity, to worship and to pray. Don't get bored with the mundane, okay? Get alive in God's word, worship, and prayer.